bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Almighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield of death. He helps us free from every need, that hath us now o'ertaken. The old evil foe, now meeting deadly woe, deep garland grave marks, o'er his dread arms in fight, on earth is not his equal.
Today, the Reverend Dr. John W. Behnken, President of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, delivers the concluding address in his current series as Lutheran Hour guest speaker. Speaking under the auspices of the Lutheran Layman's League and from Mutual Studios in Chicago, Dr. Behnken addresses you and his international audience on The Pearl of Great Price. The hymns are sung by the St. Louis Lutheran Hour Chorus. The first is Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Precious Lord Jesus, thou adorable Redeemer, in sincere gratitude we marvel at thy love for us, which moved thee to bear our sins and to atone for them on the cross of Calvary. We confess that only too often we are not as mindful of the glorious riches thou hast earned for us as we should be. Do thou in mercy forgive us and lead us to an ever deeper appreciation of thee as the priceless treasure and source of purest pleasure. Earth's teeming millions still groping about in ignorance could be indescribably rich in thee, but they are pitifully poor without thee. Open their eyes, dear Lord, and their hearts, that they may receive thee and be blessed with the imperishable riches thou dost offer. To that end, accompany with thy gracious blessing also the messages of the Lutheran Hour. Hear us, dear Savior, for thy name's sake. Now we take you to Chicago, Illinois, to hear Dr. Behnken.
2 months ago, a brief item appeared in newspapers throughout our country that there was quite a stir at Cripple Creek, Colorado. Some explorer had discovered a vein of ore containing gold 4 feet and 7 inches wide. It caused considerable excitement. Miners were reminded of days gone by. This was in the abandoned field where years ago much gold was mined. Some began to envision opportunities for enriching themselves. Gold mines have always aroused much activity. The state of California received its first great influx of population in those days when great quantities of gold were discovered. Alaska furnished further evidence of what men will do, what risks they will take, what hardships they will endure, only to get an opportunity to find gold and to enrich themselves. People are ready to do all this for the sake of acquiring temporal possessions. If only they were as interested and as eager also with regard to the great spiritual blessings. The latter, after all, are of far greater, yes, of transcendent importance. They are within the reach of all men if only they will recognize them and take hold of them. Jesus stresses the matter of the great value of these spiritual possessions and the urgency and importance of acquiring them when, according to St. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, he said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Jesus loved to speak in parables. The chapter from which our text is taken contains seven of them. They are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. They serve to illustrate a definite point. Ever so often, Jesus began his parables with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto." By the story which he told, he wanted to illustrate something in the kingdom of heaven. Another name which he used in speaking of this kingdom is the kingdom of God. When we study these parables, we must not seek to find an explanation for every detail. We must rather note what particular point it is that the Savior wishes to illustrate. In this parable, he compares the kingdom of heaven unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls. He found one pearl of special value, went and sold all that he had in order to acquire this pearl of great price. Evidently, the point which Jesus wishes to emphasize is that there is something far more precious than other pearls, something which excels everything else in value, something which should rivet our attention and arouse within us an eager desire to possess it because there is nothing else like it in all the world. Jesus speaks of a merchant man. This means an importer of goods, a big businessman. We today would call him a wholesaler, a man who imports precious treasures and thus carries on a profitable business. He must have been a wealthy merchant, for he was seeking goodly pearls. That is, precious pearls, pearls of great value. Among the Orientals and the ancient people, good pearls were considered extremely precious. Merchants who possessed the ability to judge their value, their shape, their tint or coloring, their smoothness, could carry on an extensive and most profitable business. Wealthy people were ready to pay almost fabulous prices for a perfect pearl. What is the pearl of great price to which Jesus refers? He, of course, is not speaking of material possessions, for he has reference to something in the kingdom of God. Does he mean what people call the higher things of this life? Does he mean philanthropy, humanitarian works, peace, moral living, justice, better social conditions, science, art, and the like? There are those who imagine that these are the things of paramount importance in the kingdom of God. We certainly do not want to belittle any of these things. They are of great importance, and a person must surely expect children of God to put them into practice. Christians should excel in these things. They should set an example for the children of this world. In fact, where you find church people who do not at all strive to put these things into practice in their lives, you have reason to doubt that they are Christians. However, precious as these things may be, they are not the pearl of great price. You can find them among people who are not in the kingdom of God. Good, honest, upright, moral people will put forth genuine efforts to live that kind of life. In other words, a person need not necessarily be a Christian to live an outwardly honest and upright life. The pearl of great price involves something far more precious, something of far higher value. It is not at all something which man can do or produce or provide, but rather something which God has done and produced and provided. The kingdom of God is God's gracious rule within the hearts of men. The good Lord, who sacrificed his only begotten Son to earn salvation for the sinner, wants the poor sinner to partake of this blessing. For that reason, he offers it to men through the preaching of the gospel. For that reason, too, the Holy Spirit is active through the gospel to persuade men to become the recipients of the heavenly treasures in Christ Jesus. You will recall that when Jesus visited the house of Martha and Mary, that the latter sat at Jesus' feet and eagerly received the precious blessings which Jesus had to offer. When Martha felt hurt and asked Jesus to reprimand her sister and tell her to get busy and help her, Jesus told her very plainly, "One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her." We may say then that the redemption which Jesus wrought for us, the salvation which he purchased with his own blood, the forgiveness which he earned on Golgotha's cross, are the precious pearl. Yes, Jesus Christ himself, with all that he did for us, is the pearl of great price. Today this pearl is offered unto men without money and without price. This, however, does not make it a cheap and inexpensive pearl. In fact, the greatest price ever paid for any treasure was paid for this precious pearl. We must remember that scripture say, "Ye were bought with a price." The word of God assures us that we have been redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The great God-man shed his life's blood. The innocent God-man endured the bitterest suffering which the shocking guilt of man and the righteous wrath of God could inflict. The great God-man, the very source of life himself, died on the accursed tree of the cross and thus gave his own life as a ransom for us. That is what makes this pearl the pearl of great price, the most costly pearl in all the world. I realize full well that not everyone is ready to admit that Jesus Christ and his redemption are the precious, priceless treasure. They are not ready to sing with the Christian church, "O Jesus, King most wonderful, thou conqueror renowned, thou sweetness most ineffable, in whom all joys are found. O Jesus, light of all below, thou fount of life and fire, surpassing all the joys we know, all that we can desire. May every heart confess thy name and ever thee adore, and seeking thee, itself inflamed to seek thee more and more." However, the mere fact that some do not realize this and are neither ready nor willing to accept Christ should not by any means dissuade you from accepting Christ and the glorious salvation which he purchased for you as the pearl of great price. It is sad and most unfortunate that some cannot appraise things correctly and that they have no sense of genuine values. Let us thank God that he has so graciously opened our hearts and given us the pearl of great price. And let us pray the Lord fervently that he may open the eyes and hearts of others to see, to evaluate properly, and to accept Christ as the priceless treasure. When Alexander the Great set out upon his great exploits before leaving Macedonia, he divided among his captains and nobles all his property. A friend rebuked him for having acted, as he thought, so foolishly in parting with all his possessions, reserving nothing for himself. To this Alexander replied, I have reserved for myself much more than I've given away. I've reserved for myself the hope of universal monarchy. And when by the valor and help of these my captains and nobles, I shall be monarch of all the world, the gifts I have parted with will come back to me with an increase of 1,000-fold. Alexander knew the favor and gratitude of his people was of far greater value than mere temporal possessions. Even so, redemption through Christ Jesus is the costliest pearl, though many men among men do not realize it nor prize it highly enough. One of the first diamonds found in the South African diamond fields was picked up by the child of a small farmer as he was playing beside a brook by his father's cottage. Some months afterwards, a peddler came to the cottage. As he was displaying his wares, he spied the stone on a shelf in the room. He took it up and examined it, and then asked the mother what she would take for it. She pointed to the child and said laughingly, "It belongs to him and not to me." The peddler offered the boy a box of wooden soldiers, worth only a few cents for the stone, and the child gladly accepted the offer. The peddler took the stone to Cape Town and sold it for a large sum to a jeweler. When the jeweler sent it to Europe to be sold, he obtained $125,000 for it, and it is now in the hands of royalty. What a mistake the child and the parents made. They were not wise enough to know the value of the diamond. Similarly, vast numbers of people do not know the value of the pearl of great price. We have millions of parents who permit their children to grow up without any knowledge of Jesus Christ and the redemption which he earned for them. These parents consider earthly things more important and more precious than salvation through Christ. What poor, deluded people! During the course of this week, special emphasis will be given to the important matter of reducing the shocking number of 17 to 18 million unchurched children by enrolling them in Sunday schools. May the Spirit of God open the eyes of all parents to the real values in the education and training of their children. Are you giving your child a Christian training? Are you preparing it for heaven? Do you care? Will you not heed this plan, this plea, and lead your child to Jesus? May God grant success to this important effort. The Savior states that the merchantman, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. All other pearls were as nothing compared with this one pearl of great price. So it is in the kingdom of God. When the Holy Spirit enlightens the poor sinner and leads him to realize what redemption through Christ means, he rids himself of everything else. He no longer has any interest in the things which claim the attention of his heart heretofore. Things which before this seemed noble and precious to him suddenly lose all their value. Nothing can compare with the precious pearl that Christ offers. In writing to the Philippians, St. Paul went so far as to say, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Even so, you and I will rid ourselves of all other interests. Our hearts need to be emptied of everything else which we may have, which seem precious to us, such as honor, power, riches, the favor of man, earthly influence, and the like. When the heart is emptied of all these things, the poor sinner realizes that he has nothing whatever to offer to God. However, then he will genuinely appreciate the priceless pearl. Then he will thank God that though he has nothing to offer to God for this priceless treasure, he is permitted to buy it nevertheless. God has graciously arranged for a purchase without any payment on our part. Through the prophet Isaiah, he invites the poor sinner and he invites you and me. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Is there someone listening to me now whose sin and guilt trouble him? Do you feel the sting of a guilty conscience? Does the law of God brand you altogether guilty and worthless? Do you realize that you have nothing to offer to God? I want to plead with you to take God at his word. Get rid of every semblance of your own worthiness and buy the pearl of great price. Buy it without money and without price. Jesus offers it to you absolutely free. Where is this most precious of all possessions to be found? The whole transaction of buying wine and milk, as the prophet expressed it, is so extraordinary that we ask in wonder and amazement, where is it to be found? We marvel still more at God's wonderful storehouse, or to continue with the parable of Christ, at the remarkable field where the pearl of great price is found. It, too, is within the reach of every one of you. You can readily go there and buy it without money and without price. It is the precious word of God, the wonderful gospel of Christ. Jesus says of it, "The scriptures are they which testify of me." St. Paul says, it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We're not told what effect the purchase and possession of the precious pearl had upon the merchant man. All Jesus said was, "and bought it." More need not be said. The indescribable joy of ownership was his. That is precisely the effect which possession of Christ and his wonderful redemption produces. It fills the heart with joy unspeakable. The poor sinner realizes that Christ has not only saved him from eternal bankruptcy, but has also given him incomparable riches for time and for eternity. Yes, for time and for eternity. By the kind invitation of the Lutheran Layman's League, it has been my privilege to be the summer speaker on the Lutheran Hour. I want to thank them for this invitation and for extending this privilege. I have preached Christ crucified to you. I've offered you the pearl of great price. If these services have meant anything to you, I thank God for the privilege of serving. My prayer is that God may graciously bless you and keep you. Above all, may he grant you the immeasurable riches, salvation in Christ Jesus, the pearl of great price. Amen.
Dr. Behnken's sermon of today, The Pearl of Great Price, was his concluding message in his series as Lutheran Hour guest speaker. We express our deep gratitude to Dr. Behnken for the 16 Christ-centered messages delivered during June, July, August, and September. We implore the rich blessing of God's Holy Spirit upon them. Next Sunday, September 25th, Dr. Walter A. Meyer, regular Lutheran Hour speaker, returns to the air to inaugurate the 17th season of Lutheran Hour broadcasting. This event will be signalized by a large rally in the Milwaukee Municipal Auditorium. October 2nd marks the date of a gigantic mass meeting in Chicago's public stadium. If you live in or near Milwaukee or Chicago, be sure to attend. Today, for the last time, we offer to send you and each member of this radio audience a beautiful wooden wall motto. Measuring approximately 4 by 6 inches, this motto features the appeal of our Savior's first recorded sermon, Repent Ye and Believe the Gospel. For your free and postpaid wooden wall motto, simply send a card or letter to the Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri. Once again, we invite you to enroll in the Lutheran Hour Bible Correspondence Course and to enroll your children in Sunday school by mail. The Lutheran Hour Bible Correspondence Course, now available also in Spanish and in Braille, gives you 30 constructive lessons in the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Sunday school by mail will bring your children weekly Christ-centered instruction in Bible truth. Enrollment is simple. Just send a card or letter to the Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, and you will receive full instructions. This is your last opportunity to write for your free and postpaid copy of the attractive wooden wall motto. This afternoon, Dr. Meyer addresses a Lutheran Hour rally at Rochester, New York. You may help Dr. Behnken's sermon of today reach an even wider audience by sending for your free supply. Tune in next Sunday to hear the inaugural message of Dr. Meyer's 17th broadcasting season. Since many communities now on daylight time will revert to standard time next Sunday, may we urge you to note carefully the exact hour when the Lutheran Hour will be carried over your local station. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.